Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وجمع مبارك. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We openly acknowledge that Allah is the one God. There are absolutely no partners with the Creator, the one God, no partners whatsoever. And we acknowledge that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, whom received the Quran, became the Quran, walking. We declare that he is the final, he's the servant and messenger of Allah, and also the final prophet. Messages still come. So praise be to Almighty God and greetings to everyone of peace and mercy of Almighty God and the blessings of Almighty God and the collectivity of ourselves. Praise be to Almighty God. To everyone, again, peace. God's peace be upon you. Welcome to Juma. Share your Juma. This is Share Your Juma on coming from, our intelligentsia component, American Muslim 360, on American Muslim 360 broadcast. Any imam that is, you know, well, we say any imam, anyone in the position of imam that is able to connect the spiritual balance and the material balance for humanity. We ask that you, if you want to participate, would share your Juma with the six continent persons in the six continents that we reach. Praise be to Almighty God. Go to cwsc.us. On the menu, click on AM360 for the drop-down panel and click on Share Your Juma. From there, you will fill out the form. And then give us at least 7 days to receive your information. But you select the date of Friday that you want to present, or if someone else is selecting this for you, any imam, then, of course, the date. You have the date approved by the imam and then share it with us, and we will put it on our calendar. And that calendar goes out to everyone whose emails that we have or who's receiving notifications from us. If we don't have your email, but we have your phone number perhaps, then your notification will come to you, inshallah. All right? God willing. Welcome again to Share Your Juma. The khatib for today is Imam Abdul Kawi Aziz. This is his fourth week in the month of January 2024 on the Gregorian calendar. And today, just in case you didn't know, we're in the month of Rajab, the 15th of Rajab on the Hijra calendar. That means that we're a month and a half out from the beginning of Ramadan. We look forward to the fasting month and all that it entails and the preparations that come with that and the deliverance at the end of it. Yes, so praise be to Almighty God. We're happy to be here, and we're going to go now to our hadith. As I just spoke to confirm with the Imam Abdul Kawi Aziz, he will be coming on at 1:30. So that gives us time to be in the mood, if you will, hearing the hadith, and then steadying ourselves as the muaddin, the caller, calling us to the prayer, to the reminder of what time this is. Imam Abdul Karim Ali will do that, and then we will make our sunnah prayer. And that means voluntary prayers that we just want to make, and we have a style, a system by which we make those prayers, and that system includes two rakah. So if you're in a physical structure and you're entering and the adhan is called, you will stand up and make your two sunnah rakats. That means your voluntary rakats. And those rakats consist of saying prayers and bowing and standing and kneeling. So standing, bowing, standing, kneeling. Once you've knelt, that's the complete rakat and the words that you say while you're going through those motions. So praise be to Almighty God. You make those two. And then we will hear the second call, preparing us, saying it's time now for the khatib to get to present. So the second call will be made, and then the khatib will begin to greet us and share what he's being inspired with. And prayerfully, our minds are open. This is why it's Juma, because our minds have to be open to receive the information of the acknowledgement from Almighty God to us. All right, that's Juma. So we're going to go to our hadith. Anyone needing some more information about this, a little more clarification, by all means, press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic and share any clarification, prayerfully, not long-term clarification, but we're willing to share as much as we can, and then we'll set aside some time to get with anyone who needs a little more clarification. All right? Praise be to Almighty God. So we're going to go to our hadith one moment. And yes, maybe that you hear the hadith, and it's good. Repetition is good, right? When we hear it over and over and over again, then voila, it hits us, and we get an understanding, we get a connection with it. So I, along with you, am entering, I have entered in my mind, in my heart, readying myself to hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless me to hear and benefit from. And inshallah, these hadiths will do, paving the way into that process. Okay. Here we go, dear listeners.
Hadith number 9.
عن أبي هريرة عبد الرحمن بن صخر رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوه وما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم فإنما أهلك الذين من قبلكم كثرة مسائرهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم رواه البخاري ومسلم.
On the authority of Abu Huraira, عبد الرحمن بن صخر رضي الله عنه, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, What I have forbidden to you, avoid. And what I have ordered you to do, do of it what you are able. For it was only their excessive questioning and their contradiction of their prophets that destroyed those before you. Narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith number 10.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا وإن الله أمر المؤمنين بما أمر به المرسلين فقال تعالى يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم ثم ذكر الرجل يطيل السفر أشعث أغبر يمد يديه إلى السماء يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنى يستجاب له رواه مسلم.
On the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who said, The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Indeed, Allah the Exalted is pure and accepts only that which is pure. Allah has commanded the believers to do what he commanded the messengers. And he, the exalted, said, O messengers, eat of the good things and work righteousness. And he, the exalted, said, O you who have believed, eat from the good things with which we have provided you. Then he mentioned a man who has prolonged a journey, is disheveled and dusty, and extends his hands to the heaven, supplicating, Our Lord, Our Lord, while his food is unlawful, his drink is unlawful, his clothing is unlawful, and he has been nourished by what is unlawful. So how could he be answered? Narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Note about the hadith. The first verse mentioned in the text of the hadith, O messengers, eat of the good things and work righteousness, is the 51st verse of Surah Al-Mu'minun, the Quran's 23rd chapter. The second verse mentioned, O you who have believed, eat from the good things with which we have provided you, is the 172nd verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, the Quran's 2nd chapter. Hadith number 19.
عن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح وفي رواية غير الترمذي احفظ الله تجده أمامك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرا.
On the authority of Abu Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنهما, who said, One day I was mounted behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to me, Young man, I will teach you words of advice. Keep Allah in mind, he will keep you from harm. Keep Allah in mind, you will find him before you. When you ask, ask Allah. And when you seek help, seek it from Allah. Know that even if the whole nation assembled in order to benefit you with something, it could not benefit you except by something Allah had already decreed for you. And if they assembled in order to harm you with something, they could not harm you except with something Allah had already decreed upon you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Narrated by Tirmidhi, Hasan Sahih. And in another narration, Hadith number 23.
عن أبي مالك الحارث بن عاصم الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأ أو تملأان ما بين السماء والأرض والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها رواه مسلم.
On the authority of Abu Malik, Al-Harith ibn Asim al-Ash'ari, رضي الله عنه, who said, The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, purity is half the faith, and Alhamdulillah fills the scale, and Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah fill what is between the heaven and earth. Prayer is light. Sadaqah is evidence. Patience is burning light. And the Quran is an argument for you or against you. Each of the people begins at morning, selling his soul, either freeing it thereby or destroying it. Narrated by Muslim. Note about the hadith. The statement, Alhamdulillah, means praise be to Allah, or all praise is due to Allah. And the statement, Subhanallah, means far removed is Allah from every imperfection, or exalted is He above that. Hadith number 24.
عن أبي ذر الغفاري رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه عز وجل أنه قال يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا يا عبادي كلكم ضال إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهدكم يا عبادي كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم يا عبادي كلكم عار إلا من كسوته فاستكسوني أكسكم يا عبادي إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم يا عبادي إنكم لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل واحد مسألته ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر يا عبادي إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها لكم ثم أوفيكم إياها فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه رواه مسلم.
On the authority of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari رضي الله عنه, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, among that which he related from his Lord, the Mighty and Majestic, is that he said, O my servants, indeed, I have prohibited injustice for myself and made it among you prohibited, so be not unjust to one another. O my servants, all of you are lost except whom I have guided, so seek guidance from me and I will guide you. O my servants, all of you are hungry,
except whom I have fed. So ask me for food, and I will feed you. O my servants, all of you are naked, except whom I have clothed. So ask me for clothing, and I will clothe you. O my servants, indeed, you err by night and by day, and I forgive all sins. So seek forgiveness of me, and I will forgive you. O my servants, never will you reach so far as to harm me, so you could harm me, and never will you reach so far as to benefit me, so you could benefit me. O my servants, if the first of you, the last of you, the humans of you, and the jinn of you were all as righteous as the most righteous heart of one man among you, it would not increase my dominion at all. O my servants, if the first of you, the last of you, the humans of you, and the jinn of you were as wicked as the most wicked heart of one man among you, it would not decrease my dominion at all. O my servants, if the first of you, the last of you, the humans of you, and the jinn of you were to stand in one place and ask something of me, and I gave each one his request, that would not decrease what I have, except like the needle decreases the water when put into the sea. O my servants, it is only your deeds I enumerate for you, and then I fully compensate you for them. So whoever finds good, let him praise Allah. And whoever finds otherwise, should certainly not blame except himself. Narrated by Muslim.
Note about the hadith. This is a hadith Qudsi, meaning one in which the Prophet ﷺ reported what was taught to him by Allah. It is narrated in his own words, as opposed to the Quran, which is the wording of Allah Himself. Hadith number 25.
عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه أيضا أن ناسا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قالوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون بفضول أموالهم قال أوليس قد جعل الله لكم ما تصدقون إن لكم بكل تسبيحة صدقة وكل تكبيرة صدقة وكل تحميدة صدقة وكل تهليلة صدقة وأمر بالمعروف صدقة ونهي عن منكر صدقة وفي بضع أحدكم صدقة قالوا يا رسول الله أيأتي أحدنا شهوته ويكون له فيها أجر؟ قال أرأيتم لو وضعها في حرام أكان عليه وزر؟ فكذلك إذا وضعها في الحلال كان له أجر. رواه مسلم.
Also on the authority of Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه, some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, the affluent have taken their rewards. They pray as we pray, they fast as we fast, and they give in charity the excess of their wealth. He said, Has not Allah made something for you to do in charity? Indeed, in each saying of Subhanallah is a charity. And each Allahu Akbar is a charity. And each Alhamdulillah is a charity. And each La ilaha illallah is a charity. And enjoining what is right is a charity. And prohibiting what is wrong is a charity. And in the sexual intercourse of one of you is a charity. They said, O Messenger of Allah, does one of us indulge in his desire and get for it a reward? He said, Have you considered if he were to do it unlawfully, would he have for it a burden of sin? Similarly, when he does it lawfully, he will have for it a reward. Narrated by Muslim.
Everyone, we are connected with the Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God. We will hear the Mu'addin in just a moment. The Mu'addin is Imam Abdul Karim Ali of St. Petersburg, Florida, of the Tampa Bay region. And again, the Khatib is Imam Abdul Qawi Aziz of Valrico, Florida, of the Tampa Bay Area region.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للفلان حي للفلان الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Okay, Brother Moody.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للفلان حي للفلان الله أكبر الله أكبر
The recording has started.
لا إله إلا الله
Muted
الحمد لله الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم اما بعد And that is my beloved brothers and sisters the praise is for Allah alone We ask him for his help. We ask him for his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our own actions. So whosoever Allah guides, never will he or she go astray. And whosoever goes astray, then for him or her there is no guide. I bear witness and openly testify that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness and openly testify that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. The prayers and peace be on him. And everything of excellence indigenous to this salutation follows. So my beloved brothers and sisters, I warmly and sincerely greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa Juma Mubarak. Yes. Alhamdulillah. So as usual and as always, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to come together for this moment in time to show our love, our obedience, and respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by what he has given us in the rituals, by what he has given us in the rituals as a blessing to help us formulate the life and align the life responsibly as we express our obedience to him and to him alone. So alhamdulillah, yes. So my beloved brothers and sisters, this subject matter today is that reality is the explanation of truth and the real truth. That reality is the explanation of that truth. So we will begin in Suratul Hijrah, the 15th verse, 15th chapter, the first verse. So it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Al-Ayatul Kitab Wal-Qur'an Mubin, Sadaqallahu Adhim, and Allah has spoken the truth. Translation is Alif Lam Ra. These are the ayats of revelation of a Qur'an that makes things clear. Well, I don't certainly don't disagree with that. The Quran is what makes things clear. My beloved brothers and sisters, there's a very interesting arrangement of words in this verse, this first verse. Very interesting arrangement of words, which I'd like to make some comments regarding them as we move into the topic for today. So right off we see that the subject of the verse, the noun, the subject, the one that is doing the action, the subject of the verse in this sentence is feminine in gender. It is feminine in gender. I wonder why. That is when at the same time the word kitab, Kitab, and Quran, they are in the masculine gender. So is there really a purpose for this? I believe the purpose is as defined as the purpose of why you are a male or a female. I don't think that the purpose is any different than that. Right? There are certain functions that come with these titles. Same purpose and same function. These verses are signs. And the signs are from the book and the Quran. This is much larger than the reading material you hold in your hand and call the Quran. is much larger than that. Whatever has been written on or in your human nature is that which is to be read. Or we can recite, we can say recite it. It is to be read or recited. Now, my friends, the male and the female are signs. When you look out into creation, some sort of way you will find this pattern for the continuity of life, even if this pattern of male and female are in one body. One body. And what I mean by that, for example, like certain plants that are called asexual. That means what it takes to reproduce itself is all in one body, one plant. And that's not very different from the human species, right? Because what it takes to reproduce a human being is all in the human species, right? You don't go outside and get a snake or a rabbit to reproduce with. No. You can only do that within the confines of your humanness. It's in one body. It's in one body. It is contained in the body of human beings, is what I'm saying. All right? The point here is this. It is a sign pointing to something to help us understand better our own selves. That's what I really wanted to get across. The sign is in this grandiose life. The specific life of the human being has been prescribed in it. That is the kitabun, meaning this is what has been specifically prescribed for a human being. And that is in the Quran. That is in the Quran. What has been specifically prescribed is in the Quran, which is what should be read by the human being. Now, we say should be read. Be mindful, dear people, of the fact that reading is not limited to vocalization. Reading is also reciting. Yes, the word means to recite. To recite something. Reciting is a form of reenactment. Right? I can go to a dance recital and follow the dance, and the dance will tell a story. That's a recital. So, what has been prescribed for you is the reenactment. Reenactment of what? Reenactment of what was established for the completion of your life. That is why you find scripture written in story-like formats. Yes, it's written in story-like formats so that the layperson can grab something, and the thinker can also benefit from the language, from the story-like language, the story-like format. So for you, the reenactment is clear. It's clear. It is clear what you are reciting. Not just from your mouth only, dear people, but what you are saying with your life. You're reciting with your life. This way, it is less likely that you will get off script. You will get off script. And as you know, when you are off script, you have lost your place or the place where you need to be. You've lost it. You're off script. You've lost your place. Now you need the Hajj, right? or you need the Umrah. You need the Umrah to repair the damage, or you need the Hajj to find your way home again. You got lost in the recital. You're reciting something other than what you should be reciting. It's not that difficult because, you know, a scientist, a doctor, you know, people who study the sciences, you know, they can look into your DNA, or they can look into the DNA of another creature and say, no, they're not the same. You know, this is human and this is not, because of the recital. Yes. When you lose your way, it's because you forgot something. But in this case, it is the verses of the book. Ayatul Kitab. Right? The verses of the book. Wal Quran. And the Quran. They are clear. That are clear. They are clear. Right? There's nothing unclear about them. You may have some problems with some translations, but the Quran itself is clear. Trust me. The book itself is clear. Trust me. Allah himself told so to that. All right. It is much more difficult to lose your place in the life, dear people, that has been prescribed for you, because that becomes a reminder for you. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is clear to you. So Allah, he says in his Quran, رُبَامَا يَوَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَارُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. Yes, Allah has spoken the truth. And the translation is, again and again, will those who disbelieve wish that they had bowed to Allah's will in Islam. Those who disbelieved will wish they were Muslims. Yeah. When the settlement comes, they will wish they were Muslims. Now, that does not mean they will wish they had a kufi or a jalabiyah and a long beard or in some dikabees. It doesn't mean that. As you know, that does not make you a Muslim. Even if a woman wears her kimar or hijab, that will not make her a Muslim. No. There are those who do not accept Allah's prescription for human excellence. And because of their depletion of moral strength and the will to obey Allah, which will carry them to a place in the life that warrants surrendering as Muslims. Surrendering. They wish. I mean, you know, there are times, and I know in most of us, there are times in our lives we made a decision and chose a particular path, and at the end result, when it all played out, we said, man, I wish I had gone the other way, or I wish I had accepted the, yeah, right? Yeah. Now you're surrendering that the truth will come to you, right? Yes. You're witnessing that the truth had come to you, you know. And that you would have had the strength and the will to have followed the first instinct about what had come to you. Okay. Now, this is the one who willfully, the Muslim, right? The Muslim. This is the one who willfully goes to Sajda. or the one who has come to the place of recognition that the choice that he or she made was not the correct one. Go to Sajda with hopes of being pleasing to Allah. Or reformatting yourself that you will have a greater sensitivity for truth and what is right. They will wish they had the will to surrender to Allah in what they know is the best place in the life as a habitation, right? The best place to habitate, to follow the prescription as it was prescribed, right? You wanna have the will to go to that place. That, my friend, is the book. Al-Kitab. That is the book. Yes, it is what has been prescribed. That's why it's the book. The Quran is the book because of what is prescribed in the book. But the book is the prescription for the human life. It is to be followed, my beloved brothers and sisters, by way of your recitation, that which is to be read, right? Right? That which is to be recited, right? And the recitation. Look, the imam, he recites with the Quran because he leads with the Quran. So, now when I say I'm an imam, I'm not just talking about the imam in the building called the masjid, right? I'm talking about the imam and you. Because when you are making your salat, and there's nobody else leading you, you're leading you. You're the imam. So the imam recites with the Quran because he leads with the Quran. So, on a larger scale, dear people, who are practicing the recitation of the Quran? Who? That which will guide you to the best of your human self. In other words, that is home for you. That is home for you. The best of your human self. And the ones who believe, I'm sorry, the ones who disbelieve are not the ones reciting the script because they are the people who wish they would have handled the situation differently when the opportunity availed itself to them, but they chose a way other than what God preferred for them. For that, my friends, there are consequences. Yes. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his Quran, Darrahum, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Darrahum, Ya Kulu, Wa Yattamahtaul, Wal Yulihihim, Tihimul, Amalul, Fasawfal Ya'lamun. Sadaqallahu adeem. And Allah has surely spoken the truth. So we have his translation here. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. A-L-O-N-E. Leave them by themselves to enjoy the good things of this life and to please themselves. Let, parentheses, false, close parentheses, hope amuse them, and soon will knowledge, open parentheses, undeceive them, close parentheses. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the people who have preferred the invite or the invitation of shaitan over the favor of God. Allah is addressing them. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? I say that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to leave alone those who are eating يحكلوا eating, right, what Shaitan has invited them to partake in. Yes. Yes. They're busy consuming of what Shaitan has invited them to. The scripture says they are enjoying what they are consuming. So leave them to enjoy what they are eating. We are to leave them, as in leave them where they are. I know we want to make everybody a Muslim, but Allah said leave them where they are. We should not invite them to come among us with those appetites that they relish and cherish from the shaitan. We should not invite that amongst us and their bad habits. We should not invite that amongst us. We don't need that amongst us. They cannot come among us like that, dear people. They will have to clean up first. Maybe wudu or possibly ghusl, right? And sincerely seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not just talking about putting some, sprinkling some water on you and et cetera, you know. I mean, they can go to the priest and he can sprinkle some water and holler, yeah, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You know, I mean, that's, if that will do it. If that will truly do it, then they could go there. Huh? So the ritual of wudu and ghusl, yes, it can clean up the physical body. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to clean up the mess that is in the life unless you know how to perform ghusl or wudu in that way. Yeah. I know there are those who clearly believe that God loves everyone. God loves everybody, no matter what. So we should not discriminate like that because God does not discriminate. Really? You mean God does not discriminate between good and evil? Or right and wrong? I find that difficult to believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave them in their appetites for evil as they entertain themselves in a life that will detain them in their rejection of God. Leave them there. Because you can't make a Muslim anyway, right? No, you can't. So leave them. Is to not invite them amongst us. And us being those who are journeying to please our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while in the heated and passionate life of rejection, a voice of reason will come to inform them of the useless decision made by them to waste the life and the potential to earn the beauty of the hereafter. Yes, alhamdulillah. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to us, وَمَا أَخْلَقْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَاتٍ إِلَّا وَلَّهَا الْكِتَابٌ مَعْلُومٌ. صدق الله العظيم. Allah has clearly spoken the truth. Yes, he has. All right. This is the recitation that we have to bring to the physical expression of the life. This verse makes a lot of sense. as it is a correction for the misguided thinking in people who miss the point of logic. Telling you. Think about what Allah says in this verse when it comes to disastrous situations that occur in the life of a people. He, Allah, dear people, says, Ma ahlakna min quriyati. God spoke in the first person, plural, which is, we do not destroy any population of people except the ones whose decree has been prescribed. Now, to me, that's a form of discrimination, right? You have to discriminate because you have to know, you have to treat a people according to the way they have treated themselves or prefer to be treated. Yeah. That is when you're dealing with a human being, right? So, prescribed means that which has been written, and the writing comes from what the life is reciting, or what the life as a prayer has summoned. The life itself as a prayer, what it has summoned. It has summoned something. It has called for something. It has requested something. And that something is based on what it has been reciting. I hope you're following me. I hope you're following me. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're following me. The writing is on the wall. And it has to do with whether the life is on script or off script. I can tell you that. If that, dear people, is factual, and I have no reason to believe that it is not factual, then why are why were the Africans herded into the bottom of vessels, and brought to America as slaves? Why? Why didn't God stop that? I'm not talking to you as a disbeliever. I'm talking to you as a believer. Right? How come the Palestinian people are being bombed into oblivion? And I'm not saying that out of cruelty. My heart goes out to them. And not only them, my heart goes out to the Israelis people who have been slaughtered. But I'm saying to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, why is it that Allah is allowing certain things to happen? Is it because of what has been recited? Is it because what has been summoned by the lie? I don't know for sure. I just asked the questions. Something had to be decreed to justify what has happened. Or justify why Allah allows what a people have earned to reach them. And before you complete that thought that just popped in your head, know that Allah's reason is above all other reasons. It is clear to me that everybody's life is a book, individually and as a group. Each individual has written a book with their lie. It contains what you violated and what you held sacred. That, dear people, is your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, each will be given their book either in their right hand or in their left hand. Those are not my words. Those are the words of God himself. That is your story, which will speak for you or against you in the time of settlement. In the time of the settlement. The settlement is the time in which the debt has to be paid. You have to settle your debt. Either you're going to pay for the life or the life is going to pay you. One or the other. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to us in his Quran, ما تسبقوا من أمتي أجالها وما يستخجرون صدق الله ودين. As always, Allah has spoken the truth. So the translation is, neither can a people anticipate its term nor delay it. Nor delay it. My duty and desire here is to embrace the logical truth of the Quran. And it clearly states that no people or population group can advance their time or delay it when the decree has been given or the judgment for the settlement has been declared. You have to respect the order of events. You do. You have to respect the order of events. There is an order to the position of prayer. You know that, right? One has to come before the other position, that is, one has to come before the other unless something happens to justify differently. You cannot supersede any one of them or unnecessarily delay the arrival at that position without incurring an infraction that invalidates the prayer, right? The ritual of prayer, right? Right? Okay. This includes the ritual of prayer as well as the practical prayer, the life itself. Now, I will say there are times when reciting the Quran, you know, literally and allegorically, that you will have to leave Qiyam, right? You have to leave Qiyam and go straight to Sajda. There are some places in the Quran where you come to in the recitation, at that particular point, you go straight to Sajda. In order to validate your willingness to accept reformation and change. And also, there are those times when you err, or you make an error in the prayer. You are subjected to make two additional sajda at the end of the prayer to make amends for the standard deviation of the means. In more specific terms, dear people, in more specific terms, how big of a departure from the standard or the ideal character for human behavior is in your wander, right? When you wander away from the path that you should be on, when you wander away from the thinking that you should have, right? The standard deviation of the means, right? How far did you stray? How far did you stray away? Yes. So, when we say standard means standard deviation of the means, that's what we mean. We're talking about how far did you stray away from what is the standard position. Okay? Yes. So the specifics of that behavior will solicit a categorical outcome defined by its actions, and you cannot escape it except for divine intervention. The point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you to decree or determine by your actions what you have earned, but only He can specify the time of its arrival. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never without the right of divine intervention. Rabbana, ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لندخلن من الخاسرين. Our Lord, we have wronged our own souls, and if we are not forgiven and shown mercy, surely we will be among those who are the losers. Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that God is one, and we witness that Muhammad is his messenger and his servant. On whom be the peace. Okay, we're going to try to finish this up, dear people, so that we can go ahead and make the salat, inshallah. So Allah, he says to us in the Quran, his Quran, he says, وَخَالُوا يَا أَيُّحَا الَّذِينَ نُزَلَّلْ عَلَيْهِ ذِكْرُ النَّقَلْ لَمَّا جُنُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. And Allah has spoken the truth. Translation is that they say, O thou to whom the message is being revealed, truly thou art mad or possessed. Okay. Today, this mindset is still very active in the society. The one that is possessed, right? The one that is mad. Okay. Yes. The one that is just pushing very violently against the naturality of the human life. They're going mad. They want to be everything but a human being that God created them to be. They're mad. Yes, they're going mad. I will say to you, there's a very thin line between love and hate. If you understand that language as it relates to the aforementioned verse, then you would agree with me. A thin line between love and hate. Make a mental notation of that, because we're going to come back to it as we close out. Inshallah. They say this, but we have to define who are they. They say this, but we have to define who are the they and why they say what they say. My best estimation, dear people, is a reference to the people in the last verse who seek to anticipate the arrival of a result or to delay or postpone the result from a particular action or activity. Now, for the most part, we who are receiving this information are less likely to see ourselves as the one who is receiving this information. It did not say Muhammad received it, or it did not say Christ Jesus received it, and peace be upon both of them. As the ones who are receiving this information or revelation, it didn't say either one of them. Most of us find it difficult to see ourselves as Muhammad or see ourselves as Christ Jesus. Even when we say we are the community of Muhammad, it says the one who receives the reminder or the impulse to think, right? That one is a mad mind, right? They refuse the impulse to think. The law, he said, think, for thinking profits the thinker. They have become a mad mind, meaning not in control of his or her faculties in the pursuit of rationality. That's what I mean by mad, right? And you're just going crazy. It's just after any and everything without any discrimination. Remember when I said a thin line between love and hate? I meant certain words have that relationship. For example, the word that is used here in that verse for madness is majnun. Majnun. And it has in its meaning Jannah, the paradise. Right? That's also in its meaning. And it also has Janun. Janun is a snake. Yes, a snake in the grass. A snake. And it also has in its meaning Jinn, the slick or evasive part of the self. Right? That part of the self that's smart enough to just move like a snake and go around the truth. This word that people can give us the qualities to enter the paradise, or it can give us the character of Iblis so that we become our own worst enemy. I'm telling you, there's a thin line between love and hate. There's a thin line between those two, in terms of these meanings. They can give us the character of Iblis. And know that Iblis is a jinn. Iblis is a jinn who was placed over the angels as a leader. And God ordered those angels to give whatever is in their control for the benefit of his man or the human being. Now, we know, dear people, from the biblical account, the archangel was kicked out of heaven. He was among the angels as their leader, the archangel. But he was thrown down to the earth. Yes. And don't think that these stories don't have in-depth meanings. They have very in-depth meanings. Yes, it was thrown down to the earth. The human being who has received the message from God as a reminder of what obligates him or her has become mad or insane by virtue of their rejection of what obligates them. God ensures that it reaches you as an individual or as a group regarding what is responsibly right. And to choose wrong thereafter is a testament of your madness. You have got to be out of your right mind. the partition between sanity and insanity is a very thin line. In fact, it is so thin until one can penetrate the partition and become the other, or be produced from the same root or environment. Yes, that is why the snake was in the same garden as Adam and Eve. It's in the same environment with them. It's in the same environment with you. Yes, Adam and Eve. Because they come from the same root. You can't tell a lie without borrowing from the truth, and vice versa. Why? Because they're tied together. They're tied together. So Allah, he says in his Quran, Lo ma tahtina bil malaikati in kunta min al-sadiqin. Sadaqallahu adhim. Allah has spoken the truth. And the translation is, why bringest thou not angels to us if it be that thou hast the truth? I mean, we have to think about some of these things, and particularly the way they have them translated sometimes. In other words, why not come to us with the angels if you are from the truthful, right? If you are from among those who are truthful, then why have you not come to us with the angels? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he assigned the angels, he commanded the angels and assigned the angels. So why aren't they with you? You can't come with the angels because you betrayed your trust when you accepted the mad mind that the angels could not place their trust in. Angel couldn't trust them? No. When you began to perform contrary to the expectation of the angels, they reject your leadership. That is why Adam was expelled from the garden. You are viewed as being from among the ones who are truthful to the creation or the containment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the human life in. If that is your circumstances, then you will come with the angels because they will follow you. They will follow you as you being their leaders. Remember, the jinn was appointed as the leader of the angels, and Muhammad the Prophet, alayhi salam, he said to his jinn, it became Muslim. He said of his jinn, it became Muslim. Right? The jinn surrendered. He, Muhammad, overcame his jinn. And that jinn began to work for the advancement of human life rather than disgrace it. I can tell you, my beloved brothers and sisters, that Richard Adler was the jinn in charge of the angelic forces of my life. But he soon got the point and submitted. Malaikat Ibda Munzarina, Sadaqallahu Adhim. And we have this translation, and surely Allah has spoken the truth, and we have this translation. We send not the angels down except for just cause. If they came, in parentheses, to the ungodly, behold,
no respite would they have. Now, we're going to conclude with this. So, to confirm what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already said emphatically, he restates it when he says, we do not send the angels down except with the truth. What that means is the angels come in truth, come with the truth, and come of the truth. No matter what others may try and fabricate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established the facts upon the truth. That is, truth which has been defined by him or his reality. God has established his entire creation upon truth. And it is we, dear people, under the influence of Shaitan, who seek to establish a world of falsehood upon God's truth. And that is the world we come to prefer over God's word. That is our problem in a nutshell. Dear people, Nunazinu, person, plural pronoun, with form two of the present tense verb, for sending something down or causing it to be sent down in a revelatory way. The reason for my explanation is because not only, not knowing the asset at this point, all right? So my reason for my explanation is because, not knowing is not an asset at this point, is what I'm trying to say, right? Because you can say, Your Honor, I didn't know, okay? But you still broke the law, right? So not knowing is not a real good defense here, all right? So what the grammar says to us is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent anything down outside of truth and much factuality to support his purpose and his reality. So he alone says he has given every creation his nature, his purpose, and it is all supported in its truth. So form two of the verb send down or revealed is with increased emphasis. It's form two, increased emphasis that is placed upon the act it represents and the particle not, N-O-T, in the word not, which exemplifies a reinforced way for saying we did not perform the act of sending down anything that is not based upon truth. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that was not the case, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be justified in applying punishment for violating the principle of truth. He will have no justification. But everything that he sent down was the truth. So he has all of the justification. Even if you have a lie, the lie is the truth in its nature as a lie. There is a hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he summoned the angel Jibril to take a look at the creation before any influence or habitation. And Jibril's response was, oh my Lord, how can anyone go wrong in a creation like that? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Jibril within an instance and showed him the creation after influence and habitation. And Jibril's response was, oh, my Lord, how can anyone go right in a creation like that? The creation, I might add, is not just the material creation of the heavens and the earth, but it is also includes, dear people, more specifically, your human creation. Your human creation. You think that Allah created the human creation wrongly? No, he perfected it. No matter how you alter a lie, the fundamental nature of a lie is a lie. And that is the truth. Reality, dear people, is the explanation of truth. And that is what it is, the real truth. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Allah, let not our hearts deviate after our guidance, and grant us from your mercy, your presence mercy. Truly, you are the most liberal of all the granters. And we say, Igamatu Salah.
This session is no longer being recorded. Unmuted.
Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للصلاة قد قام انت صلاة قد قام انت صلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الحمد لله okay. يا الله سبحانه وتعالى we intend to make two rakas of Salatul Jumma Far, MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أيها الكافرون لأحبدوا ما تحبدون ولئن تنابدون ما أحبد ولئن عبدون ما أبدتون ولئن تنابدون ما أحبد لكم دينكم ولي دين الله أكبر سامي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
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 Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
ومن لك الحمد
الله هو أكبر
الله 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 أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
دعاء يا الله سبحانه وتعالى we witness your oneness in the prophethood of Muhammad the last we seek your mercy we seek your protection we seek your guidance we seek forgiveness for our sin we seek your help We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. We thank you for the good and the excellence that you have bestowed upon us. It is you alone that we surrender ourselves to in obedience. It is you alone that we trust with our lives. So continue to give to us loved ones, family members, and offspring who will consciously and willingly come to this place of surrender now and far into the future. And, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you plant firmly our feet on this path of Sirat al-Mustaqim and let us not die unless we are Muslims. And O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for surely reality is the explanation of your truth. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Praise be to Allah. And we'll make the two rakat sunnah and we will come back to the question and answer format, inshallah. Okay, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to open the floor here for questions and answers and comments and et cetera with regards to today's subject or conversation or something else that may be in your spirit or on your mind. So alhamdulillah, the floor is open.
And greetings of peace to you, dear T-Bam, Templar Muslim Association, and others, and all on American Muslim 360. Martha Nyland here, and I just want to alert our listeners here on AM 360 that you can take the time now if you like and press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic if you have any questions or comments that you'd just like to share or just to give the greetings to everyone. Inshallah, press 1 if you like. We have a host of listeners from many area codes. We thank Allah SWT for that variety hearing the message today. Praise be to Almighty God. I just like to, you know, could say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is the one God, makes a connection when we have a purity of intent. And I say that, you know, not to pat myself, I'm just sharing in that way that you really connected me, ma'am, with our comments this morning on American Muslim 360, starting out after we hear the Suratul Kahf, then we have the CWSC Friday Roundtable. And the purpose of CWSC Friday Roundtable is to bring to the table a discussion, an open discussion and sharing and finding out who's doing what, where, when, how, what for, and what kind of impact. And we're directly connecting with the Muslim community in association with the leadership of Imam Warazim Muhammad right now, and to connect at the stages of that we're approaching the month of Ramadan, and that, of course, the iftar, we're going to get into the discussion of that later, but perhaps this audience won't hear those comments, but we will be relating it to them, and we will be interviewing, bringing you yourself and Imam Abdul Karim Ali, inshallah, Imam our dear brother Abdul Salam Hamid, and others, Asir Muhammad Akil, and those who want to share, coming from the Tampa Bay region, I call it, the Tampa Bay area, that's what is happening, and how we're going about doing that and what is for the future. But the stages of development for prayer and what it means to come into Jummah. That's my question for you, Imam, as we were relating this morning about the Jummah starts with yourself being connected mentally, physically, and spiritually. Imam, how do you express that, really the true essence of Jummah, being in Jummah?
Yeah, well, you know, thank you, sister. That's a wonderful question. Because what we have to do is that we have to begin to see everything, how it is tied together. And we have to look at the language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and be able to extract from it the highest possible thinking that we can get. Now, I say that to say, Jama'ah, right? Jama'ah, you know, together, to come together, right? You know, put off what it is that you may be entertaining. All of the rituals are designed to do just that, to give you the will, to give you the commitment, to give you everything you need to build a community. But first thing you have to do is get out of seeing it exclusively as the ritual and see it as a sign pointing to the practical that you should have as one who, say, he or she is a worshiper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jama'ah is to build a community.
As-salamu alaykum. And when he was speaking on, I heard on another program a brother speak on the same thing concerning the jinn. And so praise be to Allah that we got a common sense look at the jinn. And then also I'd like to say that after the jinn finally evolved to Iblis and Shaitan, then he become a psychopath. That's for the scientists of the world. That's the word, psychopath. No caring about nothing, cold-blooded. Do anything, don't feel nothing from nobody, and an animal. So, alhamdulillah, that's something I'd like to share. The true human being, the moral khalifa, evolving, and then we'll be on the scene, staying in touch with our original nature, put in a bad situation for a better future. All praise is due to our Creator. Created for moral leadership, utilizing what we are told for proper worship, freedom of choice. A khalifa was created in the earth to serve God and keep him first. A goal five is excellence. Community life is a productive and spiritual environment. Adam as a builder of industry, food, clothes, and shelter, not living in poverty, taking care of ours and other social needs, coming to a world that altered the human, natural people, denying wisdom from their creator. Scriptures have been twisted, misinformation from the wicked, becoming a contender to God. This is what we were taught. Now, we are told that as Muslims, we are obligated to study our religion. And so when you listen to an imam like our brother Abdul Qawi Aziz, you have to hear him out. And if you don't understand him, it's because you haven't put yourself in a position to study or to study under somebody or respect somebody that he had been getting the information from also. And then you'll find yourself, you'll be in an augmented stage and you'll figure lead all that, brother, he ain't got it right. No, you got to put yourself in a position to evolve yourself. Because remember, Allah is constantly feeding us. He's constantly guiding us, but we have to want this and we have to live it. And inshallah, we'll be able to get it and we'll be evolving to where Allah wants us to be at. And say, remember always that the son of the prophet is where we evolve into. That's where we want to get to. That person, that caliph, that condition has a purpose. And remember, Prophet Muhammad, he was constantly evolving too. As-salamu alaykum.
All right, we have a caller here on AM 360. As-salamu alaykum. It is 706-627, our brother Muhammad.
Well, alaykum as-salam. Yes. Well, alaykum as-salam. It's Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. Allahu Akbar for letting today's Juma be exactly what we were trying to and working with this morning on our earlier program. As a confirmation of Allah's intent, we have to come back and put the trust that whatever endeavor or whatever we're trying to do to please Allah, Allah said the answer is in the Quran, in the life example of Prophet Muhammad, and in the deeds and actions that you apply from having that guidance and that application in the life of the best human being to show you how to do it. We have to build, and we build with no help except ourselves first, and many will join in afterwards. But first, we have to come together and show that we are with one God, one creator, whatever language the people who might be observing us, as we model our life into the development that Allah wants for all of you means who believe now. Also, like the Imam said, it's those who believe. Everybody on the earth ain't going to be, and everybody on the earth ain't going to the Jannah. We have to accept that. But that's one of the things, or the many schemes that Shaitan is using to hold us back, is that our natural love for each other. Now, we have taken the quote of Hadith where Prophet Muhammad warned us that love for your brothers and sisters, you should have that same love for yourself and for them, or faith is not going to enter your heart. And you will put your trust in those who seem to artificially display that same type of relationship they want to have with you, but you see in their deeds and actions that's not so. Like, again, one of the greatest shocks that we could ever have is if we sat down to a united world children and then realize that at least three-fourths of the people we're sitting down in shura with are people who have openly said that they are our enemy. And they might have homosexuals there, armed robbers there, murderers there. You know, even we have experienced that amongst our own brothers and sisters. We have a king who's supposed to be a Muslim protecting his son from murder that his son conspired and might, inshallah, Allah Alam, finance. And we accept it. We accept it without saying anything publicly the way that Allah has charged us to declare of his existence to each other and to remind each other at all times who we are and what our purpose is. But Juma today covered all of what inshallah, not what I was trying to say, what Allah was trying to tell us earlier today. That it all depends on first how we purify our worship to Allah. Then we can build it. Allah would not tell us to get out of this influence or get out of this dunya or start something and develop our own share of the dunya or let there be a band of people come out. You know, he's telling us everything that you got to do this on your own, you who are my servant. And then give the opportunity for those who are coming from oppression, confusion, and coming from the many schemes of the shaitan that I have permitted, is his creator and his respite, have given him permission to do. It's the people who accepted it. How can I love and hug on a Christian or a Hindu or somebody, and I know that what they will do tomorrow will be the same thing they're doing today. They will say that we are liars, we are crazy, and excessive. But if we show them and give them the model that Allah wants for all of us to have, but we have to accept that there's many going to reject it. Allah said the hell will be full of it. And I think when we start being balanced in our realization, like the Imam was saying in the khutbah today, if we just be realistic, we'll see that we'll go on with our own business. And if anybody want to talk to us, they talk to us while we still have our feet in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad, and we answer them and explain their question. But we got to keep moving. We got to keep moving to our destiny. Inshallah.
I mean, alaykum assalam. Thank you so very, very much. Alhamdulillah. That was our dear brother Muhammad from a community of Muhammad, of Prophet Muhammad, by way of Columbus, Georgia. All right. There aren't any other hands. Imam and community there, Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association in Tampa Bay area, and others. We're going to move on here on AM 360. Thank you so very much, Imam Abdul Qawi Aziz, as being the khatib for today, presenting the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we continue on with the commentary of Imam Warsi Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. Thank you so kindly. And tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Community Developmental Stages here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. May Allah continue to bless us all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
We're going to go to a presentation, one of the commentaries of Imam Warsuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. And I must say, though, unfortunately, I don't know what time we will drop off, but we have used 2 hours, and the next part of the presentation we'll share as much as we can. Just know that you can return tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Community Developmental Stages, and tomorrow morning, please, by all means, 7 a.m., please, to hear more of Imam Warsuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. The mercy of Almighty God be upon him. And that will be with the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose with Imam Kareem Hamid. Come and be a part of it, a contributing part, inshallah. Just your attendance will show that your interest, but participate by sharing how you perceive or receive the commentary of Imam Warsuddin Muhammad as a student. Praise be to Allah. Following that at 9:30 a.m., will be preparing to make it in the land of plenty. That's with Imam Delaysi Umar Phillips and his recurring guest, Professor Imam Rabbani Muhammad, along with, and I say Imam, Michael Hameen, as a contributor and as an engineer. So please, that's 9:30 to 11. And then 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., you will love to know our young people are getting involved. So come to them, inshallah, right here on AM 360. That's Culture Insight, under the leadership, the directorship of our dear brother William Kareem, as he is the director of a Leadership Development Council with CWSC. And internship, he's presenting it through the avenue of culture
and the cultural insights is a combination of AM360 and the partnership with A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio. So you want to connect with us 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., where you will hear interviews, plus on the Quick Hitters, that's where William Sun presents Kevell Kwan and William Black, Bill Black, his other son. And we will have an interview with one of the young minds from Know Me, Know Me. Not an interview, but a contribution. Imani Abdushakur will be a contributor on the cultural insight. For those who have heard Imani Abdushakur from her younger days, she's now 24 years old, and she has a lot to share. Praise be to Almighty God. And others are coming on, Isaiah Abdushakur on another area, but he will be working, connecting with the Model Community National Resource Directory and Volunteer Human Resource Network. And perhaps he will contribute as well again on AM360 through the Quick Hitters on Cultural Insights with William Kareem, Kevell Kwan, and Bill Blass. Okay, everyone. And then know that 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. is Shafrita Abdul-Hadi, Al-Islam in Focus. That will be our week complete. Thank you very kindly. And now we'll go to, if you have any questions, press 1 on your phone. Now open your mic as we're going to go to a commentary choice. No matter how often we hear it, but it's from Imam Warsuddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh. So we love it, and we always can benefit from what we hear, God willing. Again, press 1 on your phone if you have any questions or comments, and we'll open your mic, all right? And this is going to be, actually, let's see, this, it says creation and reality, but it's only for about 15 minutes. Well, let's gather what we can from it, inshallah, all right? All right. See here, I'm not hearing anything. So perhaps okay, perhaps that did not connect with the
Quran. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is not anything at all like him. And he exists alone, needing nothing from his creation. This is what he said to himself in the Quran, in our holy book. He exists alone, needing nothing from his creation. And he says that the blood we sacrifice, the animal or the blood that is sacrificed, does not reach him, but our obedience reaches him. The only thing that reaches him is our obedience. So we can't take up a collection today and give it to Allah. That won't reach him. The money won't reach him. But our good intent, our obedience to him, reaches him. So he needs nothing of this creation. Then what is the creation for? It is not for God to use, to feed on, to benefit by or from. It's for us. It's for human beings. But not just any human beings. God says in the Quran, who has forbidden my servants, my faithful servants, the good things, the good and useful things of creation? He said it is for them. It is for them. So this world is created for God's true, sincere, devoted servants. That's what it's created for. And he wants us to be obedient so that we get the benefits. He has designed this creation to give the benefit to those who will be obedient to the designer. If you're obedient to the designer, you get the benefit of the design, the creation, in its order and purpose. And he said that I have not created jinn or men, except to worship me. And to worship is a translation in English. It means serve me, to serve me. And we know we've heard of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of the New Testament, that he said he was in the world to do what? To be about his Father's business. And that's to serve his Father. And this is a term from Christianity, not from Islam. A term for God, another term for God, the Father, the Heavenly Father. And so he was in the world to be about his Father's business. That's what his purpose was in the world. To serve his God. To serve the God that sent him. So I just said that to say that the Bible is no different than the Word of God, the Quran, when it comes to identifying what is our purpose in this creation. Our purpose is to serve God. To serve God. Then God says also, is not the creation and the command for God? The two are associated together. Is not for God both the creation and the command? If I have produced something, I have a right over it. I have rights over it. If I have created something in the business world, I have rights over it. I'm entitled to rights over that. I'm entitled to instruct other people how to use it. I'm entitled to tell the market what its use is, what's the proper use of this thing is, what is the proper use of it, what its purpose is. Because I designed it, I created it, I have that right. So God says, is not for God both the creation and the command over it? So everything in creation is designed or created to give service to God, to answer the purpose for which it was created. Man, then, is here on this earth to answer the purpose for which he was created. And if we accept that, the world yields its treasures up to us. The creation, that is, not the artificial world, not the man-made world, the creation. And even the man-made world, too. Even the man-made world. Because it has no reality except in creation. No matter how fictitious it is, no matter how artificial it is, no matter how mythical it is, whatever, it got its form, too, out of the creation that God did, the real world that God did. So everything will yield to us. And this is the teachings of the Quran. This is the teachings of God to us in the Quran. That he made the man and made everything in creation to yield its benefits, its treasures, its benefit, its utility, etc. To man, so that man were incorporated into the society of human beings and further advance the state of the human community or the state of the human society. This is the purpose of it. Allah says, God, that is, says in the Quran that he made the rivers to do that, the mountains to do that, and the rivers to do that. And God says, and he made the sun and the moon to do that. The sun and the moon. It's a pity that that glorious age of Islamic rising in the time and immediately after the time of our Prophet and the immediate centuries after the birth of our Prophet Muhammad and his mission, pity that that time didn't continue in his glory. If it had, we would be the leaders in industry and science. Not to mention culture, ethics, etc. But we would be the leaders, Muslims would be the leaders in industry, in science, in technology, etc. Something happened. We didn't keep the connections. Who are you to say that? You don't have any degrees from college or university. Who are you to say that? You're right. I don't have any degrees from college or universities. But I have a degree from the creation God made. I have a degree from the universe, not the university. And I thank God for guiding me, having mercy on me, and guiding me so that I would get what I love. I always loved creation, nature, creation, science. I always loved it as a young boy. It was my love. And it still is. It is my love. But I have found a higher reality now. So I appreciate the purpose for which these things exist more than I appreciate these things per se. And they exist to serve the will of God, the plan of God. So God is not only the one who will have will, God also had a plan. And his plan was seen when the creation was seen. Or when the creation is seen, we see his plan. The great minds in scripture of ancient times, the earliest days of man's search for reality, or search for truth, we read of the great mind saying that these things that are working, operating in creation, in the skies and in the earth, or as the Bible says, in the heavens and in the earth, speak of God's glory and speak of his design, his plan. That's how they came to know God, through his works. Now, you will never know Michelangelo, the great artist and painter of Italy, unless you have seen his works. And you can't know him as a person who knows something about art. So the less knowledge you have of art, especially that kind of art done by Michelangelo, the less you will know him. I don't know. I thank God I was never like most people. I was not. I've never been like most people. Most people just jump to conclusions. They know nothing about how I'm at.
Okay, that particular portion has stopped everyone and looking at our time. I believe we have time for another. Again, we're listening to the commentary of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad.
They tell you when you're finished. Yeah, I like the presentation you made.
And this is on the future of America. This is a portion for about six. This is part one.
I never go to the dump. I never dump the conclusion.
Yes.
That's what a person.
Okay. About 18 minutes, 20 minutes.
W. Dean Muhammad, who is he? What has he accomplished? This Muslim leader is supported by the largest body of Muslims in America. He is the son of Elijah Muhammad, who was an inspired social reformer. In 1975, Imam W. Dean Muhammad stepped forward, armed with the Holy Quran and the history of Prophet Muhammad, who established Islam. W. Dean Muhammad was invited to read the Holy Quran at the inauguration of the president. He also has given the invocation at the United States Senate and the Georgia Senate. There is no doubt history will record that W. Dean Muhammad's clear, balanced vision of humanity being brought together will help ensure a brighter future for America and the world. And now we are honored to present Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
If the media give more presence there and more authority to Satan, all of us are going to be affected by the power of Satan in the media or on the media. All of us, Christians and Muslims. So doesn't it make good sense for us to look at what we share in common, what we want together, and the life that we have to live together on this earth in America? Look at that and say, I need these people as my friends. We have great odds to fight. We need all the friends on our side we can get. Now, I believe that a sensible thinking Christian should be thinking that way and should be looking at the Muslims, say their numbers are growing. Those people believe a lot like we believe. They will be our supporters. They will be on our side against drugs. They'll be on our side against criminals. They'll be on our side against pornography, child abuse. Now, how much more important that is for us, who are a small minority? Are we going to write this big Christian majority off as all Kafirs? Our enemies? I need them as my friends. The odds that I'm up against in America are just too great. I don't believe little David could handle this Goliath. This Goliath of deception. This Goliath of corruption. This Goliath of greed. I don't believe little David could handle this mighty Goliath that is in the modern world today. Now you're going to tell me that all these, that I got some relatives that are Christians. I got to say, hey, my enemies too. They're Catholic, accept Islam, are you my enemy? I never read anywhere in the Quran where God says to a kafir, accept Islam or else. God says to the kafir, tell us to say to the kafir, you have your way, I have my way. You got your religion, I got my religion. To you is yours and to me is mine. You ain't gonna never accept mine, I ain't gonna never accept yours. That's what God tells me to say. Now, what did that preaching for? Hey, let's make some sense. What is Imam Didak preaching in South Africa for? To Christian preachers who are kafirs. Why don't he just read that one surah to them? If all Christians are kafirs, why does he have to go and do all that Bible research? Volumes and volumes, pages and pages, booklets after booklets, videotape after videotape, all by Didak, Imam Didak. The Nobel Prize winner in the Muslim world. Yes, he received the Saudi Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's Nobel Prize. They don't call it the Nobel Prize. It's the equivalent. They call it the equivalent. I call it the Nobel Prize. Now, what is he writing all those arguments for and straining his brain, putting all that research down on the Bible and everything, and going and presenting it to preachers to convert them to Islam? If they are kafirs, why don't he just say, "Kul ya ayyuhal kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun," and finish it to the end, "Lakum dinukum waliyadin"? Huh? Why don't he do that? God told him what to say. Why don't he say it to those kafirs? I wouldn't be dealing with these things if they were not in our way. If we are to have a future in America, we have to get these things out of the way first. Muslims believe in clean, upright behavior. Good Christians believe in the same. The moral thinking of a Muslim is too near kin to the moral thinking of good Christians for us to look at them as enemies. The ethical thinking of Muslim civilization is too near kin to the ethical thinking of good Western civilization for us to think of Western civilization as our enemy. We can present an argument to them, and we're supposed to argue, even with those people that we believe to be sincere. If they have problems, and if we think we can make a contribution to a correction, God wants us to try to make that contribution. We don't believe Christ Jesus is the Son of God. We don't believe God has sons. He has only dependents that he created. And all people are the dependents of God. If God was to accept, to report his holdings to the IRS, he would have to put every human being alive on this planet down as his dependent. Allahu Akbar. And there are other areas, too, of great difference. We are not to part with them. We are not to part with them. No. God says, and argue with them in the best way, with beautiful and excellent preaching. That's what God said to us. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. That's what God says. And argue with them with beautiful and excellent preaching. Don't present an argument that's intended to aggravate them, to insult them, to speak down to them, or write them off as decent people. God doesn't want us having a discussion with the Christians like that. He wants our discussion with Christians to be sincere, respectful, beautiful words, and excellent choice of language. wisdom and beauty. Muslims have a destiny. We don't like to use any term that the West uses. Just because the West talks about a destiny, now it's unacceptable for a Muslim to use that term, destiny. Prophet Muhammad promised that he will meet his followers who followed him, his strong followers, disciples, promised that he will meet them at the water pool. Well, if it's in your heart to meet him there, then that's a destiny. That's a destiny. He set a destiny for the Muslim. But I believe when God says to the Muslim, you are the best community evolved for all people. Ukhrijat linnas, evolved or brought out for all people. Now God says the Muslim, he brought, evolved the Muslim community of the world. He evolved it or brought it out, not just for Muslims, but for all people. I believe when God said that, God called us to a destiny. Yes, he called us to take up the destiny. Now, we know that the community under the leadership of our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, it was that community in its beauty, in its purity. And it was a community brought out for the good of all people, because we know that the contributions from science and morality, decency, and civilization reached the West. And now the whole world is getting the benefit of that early rise of Islam. The whole world is getting the benefit. The numbers we use, the algebra, the astronomy, the medicine, and on and on and on. We can name many areas where the contribution of Islam, if it was not there, the West couldn't be advanced as it is today. So we know that that community did prove to be a community evolved or brought out or brought up for the good of all people. But what about today? What is the popular thinking today? Do we still believe that Muslims should have all people in their hearts, all people in their interests, to benefit them, that all people get the benefit? Our prophet said in agreement, or I would not say in agreement, he said, I would say in line with or in the spirit of the word, God's word in the Quran, he said, the best of you is the one who's most beneficial to people, all people. Khayrukum man yanfa an-nas. Allahu Akbar. The best of you is the one who is beneficial to all the people. Not just to one people, but to all the people. Praise be to Allah. So we have a destiny. Our destiny is a global destiny, because Islam is a global idea. It is an idea to revolutionize the globe. That's what Islam is. It is an idea put in the world to revolutionize the whole world. Not speaking of revolution in the same meaning that the political world has it. No. I'm speaking of revolution in the language of the natural environment. The natural environment. When an area of the earth that was barren realized change in environment, change of climate, or some other change, and that barren area becomes a productive area, producing rich crops whereas before it did not produce rich crops. That's a phenomenal change. That's a revolution. That's a natural revolution for that particular land. But when a people realize a change from rocky, sandy, stony ground of their own soul and mind to a productive, flourishing soul and mind, that's a revolution for those people. Islam wants to bring about that kind of revolution in the souls and minds of the people on this earth, all of them. Islam has a very, very potent idea that it wants to bring to the souls and minds of the people on this earth so that it can enter them and affect the climatic change for their souls and their thinking, so that their souls and their thinking that was just sand and rock, boulders and stumps and things dying, will change from that to a flourishing paradise, a beautiful, flourishing, rich paradise. That's what Islam wants to do. It wants to do this not for one people, but for all people. Not for one nation, but for every nation. This is what Allah says in His holy book. Islam comes with an idea to address the need for man to see himself as one community. Not just Muslims as one community, but man as one community. Allah says, Kana nasu ummatan wahida. Kana nasu ummatan wahida. The people themselves were once one community. And ask any Arab who has a command of his language, any student of Arabic grammar, ask him, what does that imply? He will tell you that when you translate it, you shouldn't say the people were once one community. You should say the people are one community. The language there, the wisdom in the language, is to tell us, though it is not presently, it was intended to be that way by God. It ain't saying what exactly was passed, but what God intended it to be. Mean with God's plan, when the plan was with God, He planned that man be one community on this earth. Therefore, any Muslim who understands this wisdom, this hikmah of the Quran, this ilm of the Quran, anyone who understands that, he's supposed to look at the world of mankind and say, man is one family, man is one community.
I apologize, dear listeners. I was so engulfed in listening and then got, well, alhamdulillah. Please join us this evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been a pleasure serving you as we're here together. Assalamu alaikum.